So the reading today is taken from Mark 11, and we're looking at verses 1 to 11. So if you want to follow along, that would be great. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and they found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread their branches they'd cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who's coming in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." So, hello and good morning. My name is James, and as Rosie said, we're from a church in Exeter. And I just want to say firstly, thank you for having us here. It's great to be here, and it's great to be able to speak to you today. So far in our series, we've been looking at Mark's Gospel. And we've been in Mark 14. So in this chapter, we've seen a few things. So we've seen Jesus be anointed with expensive perfume. We saw the Last Supper, where Jesus predicted who he'd be betrayed by. And last week, we saw that Jesus would predict that Peter would deny Jesus, and that then Jesus would be taken away by the authorities. So today, we're going to go back a bit in Mark's Gospel and have a look at Palm Sunday. So this being the Sunday before Good Friday and Jesus' crucifixion. So I just wanted to set the scene a little bit before we get into it. So Jesus' ministry was estimated to have been about 3 years long. And in Mark, most of these 3 years is seen up to chapter 11. But Jesus, before all this, has done quite a few things. So he's baptized people, he's healed people, he's teach people. He's calmed storm. He's calmed a storm. He's fed 5,000 people, and he's walked on water. So all of this by this time has made Jesus quite a well-known person. So now, from here till the end of Mark, the book focuses and puts the spotlight in the last week of Jesus' life. So it's the beginning of the end. And the event that kicks off this final section and the final week is shown in the story we're about to look at. So this story is shown in all four of the Gospels, which shows how big an event they must have seen it at the time. And before this, Jesus has been touring around for months in lots of different places, teaching and healing. And when he comes to Jerusalem, it's basically his final destination and the place where his mission is heading. And this event that we're going to look at is basically his entry to this final destination. So thousands of Jews were waiting for Jesus because it was coming up to Passover. Passover was one of the biggest celebrations for the Jewish people, and it was where they celebrated the Jews' liberation from Egyptian slavery. So it was one of the biggest Jewish celebrations, and it meant that Jews had come from all over the place into Jerusalem to celebrate. So as we look through this passage, the way I want to think about it is for us to look at two observations in the story that we can see, and then at the end we'll apply it to us now. So the two observations that I want to look at is the first one being Jesus being a humble king, a bit like what Rosie was saying. And the second one is looking at Jesus being a rejected king. So the first observation, looking at Jesus being a humble king. So I want to start by rereading verses 1-7 in the Bible. Sorry if that's a bit of a repeat. But yeah, just to go over it quickly. So if you want to follow me with that, it'd be great. So it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street and tied it at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. So we can see from these verses that as they come close to Jerusalem, Jesus asked for two of his disciples to go find a colt. So a colt is actually a small horse, but it's often referenced in the other Gospels as a donkey, and we've often seen it as a donkey, so we're going to think of it as a donkey. So he wants a donkey that hasn't been ridden on before, and he says that if anyone asks why they are taking the donkey, that they say that the Lord needs it and will send it back shortly. So they go and they find a donkey and they untie it. And just as Jesus prepared for, someone asks why they're untying the donkey. So they give the response that Jesus told them to give. And then lastly, they go and put robes on the donkey and Jesus sits on it. So I don't know about you, but I wouldn't say that a donkey is a particularly impressive animal to come into Jerusalem with. Considering how well known Jesus had become by this time, he was seen as quite a big figure. And the main thing that makes Jesus quite a big figure is that in Jerusalem, it had been previously run by the Israelites, but it had succumbed to Roman rule. And the Jews had thought that Jesus had come back to overthrow this. They thought that Jesus was going to overthrow and restore the kingdom of Israel to its old glory. So they thought that Jesus was like a big political leader or a king. So they knew that Jesus was a big deal, yet he's come on a donkey. So a donkey is often described as being meek. And I didn't really know what this meant, so I looked it up. And the synonyms for this word are patient, resigned, gentle, quiet, shy, and docile. So it's not really a war horse you'd expect for a king. So lately I've been watching a show called The Crown, which is all about Queen Elizabeth. And in one episode, it gets to the big moment where the Queen is being crowned, and it's her coronation. So when you look at it, it's all very impressive. It's done in Westminster Abbey, a massive big building, which is just incredible. Everyone's wearing these sort of robes that look very prestigious and amazing. There's sort of gold everywhere as you look around, and important people just seated everywhere. And it made me think that what would happen if the doors were opened, the Queen was about to come in, and then you see the Queen riding on a donkey. It wouldn't really fit the occasion, it wouldn't suit the importance of the person, it just, yeah, the whole thing wouldn't seem right. Yeah, this is how Jesus does it. Jesus was a humble king, and we see this throughout the Bible. In Mark 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we often see Jesus in the Bible lowering himself and putting others first. So, for the Jews, they thought that they knew who Jesus was, and they knew he was coming on, and they knew that he was coming on a donkey. So how did they know this? When Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, well, we get a prophecy of a future king of Israel coming on a donkey. And it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So they knew this prophecy and they thought it was Jesus. As well as this, people would have known about Jesus' miracles, which also confirmed who he was. So the crowds welcomed Jesus on a donkey into Jerusalem because they thought that they knew who he was and what he was coming to do. They knew he was an important man, even though he decided to come on a donkey. And they accepted that, and they welcomed him like a king, like they would have welcomed King David. So they welcomed him, even though he was riding on an unimpressive donkey that wouldn't look like much to the everyman. So that was our first observation. So now let's think about our second observation, which is looking at Jesus being a rejected king. So I want to just read the last of the chapter, which is verses 8 to 11. It says, "Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." So at this point, we can see the point where Jesus actually enters Jerusalem. And from here, we can see how the crowd reacted to Jesus and how they received him. So I said, as I said in the first observation, they welcomed Jesus in a very warm way. But I want us to look at how they specifically welcomed him in such a warm way. So the first thing we see is in verse 8, where the crowds put robes down on the ground for Jesus. And this indicated that they saw Jesus as a king. So in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, we see this happen again when King Jehu is anointed as the king of Israel. So he's been anointed and he comes out of these doors as a new king, and people see him as a new king, put their robes down for him, and he walks through the robes. So they're acknowledging that Jesus is a king and doing the same for him as they did for him, for King Jehu. We also see in verse 8 that they put leafy branches down, or palm leaves, that they've cut from the fields. And this was often used in Jewish celebrations, and it shows Jewish nationalism and victory. So really, with these things together, it's a bit like a red carpet and celebrating that Jesus had come. And in verse 9, it tells us that they start shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." So in Hebrew, well, I learned in Hebrew, this stands for "please save." So again, we can see that the crowd are referencing that they see Jesus as a saviour from the Roman oppression. So as we can see from all this, Jesus got a welcome that a king would deserve. However, in 5 days, on Good Friday, these same people will come to reject Jesus. He'll be put on a cross and left to die. He'll be mocked and rejected by these same people. He'll come from being seen as a king and as a saviour to being seen as a criminal. And instead of shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they'll shout, "Crucify him." And instead of putting robes down for him, they'll spit on him. Even his disciples will come to doubt Jesus, the one that they followed this whole time. We see that after Jesus is gone and after he's died, the disciples are in disarray as to what has happened and asking if Jesus was really the Messiah. So how did this happen? How did Jesus go from being so popular to them being so rejected? When it came down to it, when Jesus was being killed and being punished by the authorities, he looked defeated. Despite the prophecies, it did not look like he would be the one to bring back the kingdom of Israel. It looked like he came back with such hope to overthrow the oppression of the Roman Empire, but he didn't. He looked weak, and this most probably hurt the people that trusted in him to overthrow the Romans. You can imagine people saying, "Oh great, you weren't the one that we expected. How long are we going to have to wait for the real king to come and to deal with this problem that we've got?" So the people who put hope in him thought that he looked like a fake. So they taunted him and turned their back on him. They showed hate to Jesus because he wasn't who they thought he was. And they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So this made me think a little bit of Winston Churchill, the big leader in World War II. The person that everyone trusted in the country to give morale to the country with his speeches of talking about unstoppable mentality, that the country needs to keep going. And it made me think about him just saying in the middle of World War II, I can't deal with this, I'm going to leave. And I think people would have been a bit shocked by that and thinking, you've just left us in this awful situation, the one that we relied on to help us. And I think this is probably almost how the Israelites would have felt, that Jesus has come along, he hasn't done anything, and he's just left us and died and left us with this problem. However, the difference for us is that we can see the whole picture in Jesus' death. We can have confidence in what Jesus came to do, confidence that the people didn't have back then because they couldn't understand why Jesus died and why he looked so weak. As the disciples came to realize Jesus was the Messiah and the king who he said to be, but in a different way. Jesus didn't overthrow the Romans, but he did come to defeat death, and he did come to die for our sins, and he did come to bring a new kingdom, his kingdom, in heaven. And that's so much better than the physical kingdom in our world that they were expecting, because it gives us the chance to have a relationship with God and have eternal life with God. So we've looked at these two observations now, but how can these help us in our lives right now, and how can this apply to us? Well, just before thinking about that, I just want to think about something else quickly. So this story is unique in that Jesus was welcomed, but not necessarily for the right reasons. They didn't welcome him for the king and the saviour he was. Rather, they welcomed him for the king that they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be a man that would make a big difference, the person who would bring the power back to the Israelites. But he wasn't. He looked completely different to that. And ultimately, to them, he would have looked like just a man who died on the cross. So normally in the Bible, we can see examples of people and things for us to follow. But obviously the crowd isn't a perfect example for us to follow. They rejected the king that they welcomed at the beginning. And at first, yes, they did welcome Jesus being humble on the donkey. And that's good, but it's misleading because they welcomed him for the wrong reasons. When it came down to it, Jesus was so humble, so willing to lower himself for us because he loves us, that he was willing to sacrifice himself and die on the cross. But the crowd weren't willing to accept that. They didn't mind a humble king as long as he'd bring back this power, but they didn't want to see their humble king die because that wouldn't fulfill what they wanted him to do. They didn't truly accept Jesus, and they didn't realize what Jesus came back to do to defeat death. They didn't realize that he came to defeat death and to bring his new kingdom. And when it came down to it, the main thing we see is that the crowd didn't truly welcome him for what he was, but they welcomed him for what they wanted and hoped that he would be. So the challenge for us is to think, are we going to truly welcome Jesus, the humble and rejected king? We can see what Jesus came to do, and we can see the full picture. And this means we can look at how to truly welcome Jesus. We can do this in a more realistic way than the crowds did. So how can we apply this to ourselves? Well, many people in our world might think it's ridiculous to follow a man from 2,000 years ago, a man who rode on a donkey 2,000 years ago, to follow a man who seems unimpressive on first look. But as we see, the crowds worshipped him because they thought that they knew who he was, But surely we also know who he is. We see the power and the promises that he fulfills in his death, even if he's on a donkey. So are we going to do the same as the crowds and worship him? Are we going to be proud and proclaim about our humble leader and king in our day-to-day lives? Can we be enthusiastic and welcome Jesus as he deserves? And are we going to share the most amazing week in our faith with the people we know? Because really, when you think about it, this is God, the creator of the universe, who's on a donkey. And I think that's amazing. And also, we saw Jesus be rejected because he wasn't who they thought him to be. But for us, we know who Jesus is. We know he is the King, and we know what he's come to do on the cross. We have a big picture, and we know that he came to die for us. And that is why we can have confidence in God. Jesus looked weak, and he looked defeated. Yet in that weakness, he defeated sin. He was in control, and it was God's plan. We can often reject Jesus in the same way that the crowds did and believe that we know better than God. But looking at this should give us perspective that God is always the one to believe in. This story is a great example of the confidence we can have in God, because no one believed that Jesus dying was the best thing to happen, and no one thought that any good could come out of Jesus' death. When everyone doubted Jesus, we can still see that his plan was right and that he was in control. So Jesus always will be and was the Messiah back then, and he still is. So let's have confidence that with Jesus' death and resurrection, we are raised. And let's rejoice in the coming King who has come to complete his mission and serve us by dying on the cross.